AC, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. What are we talking about today?
Oh, we're talking about all kinds of good things.
Gullibility.
Gullibility is one of them, yeah. What's another one?
Are you gullible? Are you a believer?
I can be gullible, you know.
You easy to hoodwink?
Yeah. Yeah, I can be gullible. I tend to be a bit too positive and accepting of things, and so I can easily be swayed sometimes or tricked. But as I get older, I just get a little bit wiser each year. Not much more, but just a little.
When I was maybe 21, 22 maybe, I was living in Nepal for about half a year.
Mm-hmm.
And some Nepali guy, I think he was Nepali,
yeah,
convinced me that he was a Tibetan refugee.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he had a sick mother and, you know, a three-legged dog back at home. I mean, he didn't say a three-legged dog, but he had a sob story.
Yeah.
And, I gave him some money.
That happened to me once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was abroad and, a guy approached me in the street, real friendly.
Uh-huh.
You know, we walked around and had some coffee and whatnot. And then he started giving me a story about how he needed money. And I ended up giving him some money just because... Uh-huh. But then I saw him the next day talking to different people, other travelers.
I think that's what happened with this so-called Tibetan.
And then I realized, oh, that's his shtick.
Yeah, it's his shtick. So, gullible. Well, I don't know. I don't know if the first story, if Alex, the British woman, I don't know if she was so gullible.
No, I don't think so. I think
But her fiancé thought she was gullible.
Perhaps so, yeah. I mean, that seems like a pretty crazy thing to do. Like, because it seems like there's no way that he could actually get away with that. She would find out pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. What would be his motivation to be that much of a coward?
I mean, are you? What makes you think he's a coward? I mean, why do you?
Well, I'm just trying to think what kind of motivation you would have. Why wouldn't you just tell the truth?
Yeah, it does suggest that he was just so scared of just normally saying, listen, we can't go through with this. Like, why would he do that? I don't know.
I mean, I guess the assumption I'm making is that he was afraid of conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe he was just a pathological liar.
Uh-huh.
We've known some pathological liars.
We've met a few over the years, sure. There's apparently one running for president of the United States right now.
But when we used to teach together at that American university, do you remember the pathological liar we had?
Yeah, she spoke fluent like 8 languages,
right?
with complete fluency.
And and what happened when you tried to test her so-called Chinese? Did she just run away, or
no? She just kind of laughed and smiled and didn't say anything. That's all.
I can't remember all her stories, but I know she definitely had lots of them.
Yeah,
and she seemed like somebody who was compelled to make up stories about things that didn't matter.
Right. Right.
Back to this story of Alex and Tucker. I mean, maybe he was a pathological liar.
I think it's more likely your first.
Or maybe he was afraid of conflict, or maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, Alex is really terrifying.
Oh, you mean, that could be it. Yeah.
What if she was, like, a kickboxer in that story? That part of the story got left out.
Or that she had, a very dark, threatening side.
Yeah.
Where he was really afraid that she would.
Or her family is in the mafia.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there could be a missing element to the story, but anyway.
But yeah, back to how did he think he was going to get away with that?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Does
I mean,
it?
Surely
she would come to his funeral, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, was he planning to set up a phony funeral or? that's a crazy story.
Right.
And the second story was about James. James was his name, right?
Yeah, he had some health problems and no money to really take care of him.
He's down on his luck.
Yeah.
No job.
Right.
No insurance.
Which is a huge problem in the United States.
Right.
Yeah.
And this, I think this story happened in 2011, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
And that was before Obamacare, or uh-huh. the form of subsidized
medicine yeah.
that we have in the U.S. since around 2014.
Something like that.
But what I learned, mm-hmm. We haven't lived in the U.S. for a very long time,
yeah,
but
right.
the story made me look into what Obamacare does. I thought the main purpose of this new system, medical system in the U.S. was to take care of poor people.
Right.
But apparently in a lot of the country, if you don't have any money, you're not eligible. You're eligible, but it's not free. And if you don't have money,
right. if you don't have money, you can't pay for
yeah.
it. Right.
So, and medicine is crazy expensive in the U.S.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, even minor procedures can cost a lot of money. I went in about 6-7 years ago when I was visiting.
Uh-huh.
I went into the emergency room. I had some back spasms,
uh-huh.
and they gave me a shot of morphine and mm-hmm. sent me home.
Mm-hmm.
And then later sent me a bill that was, it was like $1,700 or something.
Wow.
And I was only...
You didn't call an ambulance. You went there yourself.
No, I just went there. I mean, my father drove me.
Uh-huh.
We walked in. I saw the total amount of time I spent with the doctor was less than 5 minutes.
Right.
And all the other time was just with people filling out paperwork and with a nurse giving me an injection. And
right.
that was it. I was
right.
out within an hour.
Right.
And that's how expensive it was.
Right.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
recently in the news was... the receipt somebody got for giving birth.
Uh-huh.
This couple, the woman, of course, gave birth. And right after she gave birth, the nurse said, do you want to...
Hold your baby.
You saw this article.
I saw this. Yeah, I just read about it. Yeah.
And it was itemized on the bill as a $39 charge for holding her baby.
Can you imagine?
It's a nickel and diamond.
Oh, man, that's the epitome of insanity.
And I'm sure the full...
Crazy.
I don't know what the full bill was, but I mean, it must have been $5,000 or $10,000.
Yeah.
They couldn't just bundle in their crazy idea.
If you want to hold your baby, it's $40.
But, a friend of mine recently had his spleen removed here in Japan, and his bill was about $3,000. That was before
You're
insurance.
Talking about here in Japan?
Yeah.
Okay.
So to get his spleen removed before insurance, the insurance covered a lot of this, but the total price was
$3,000. About $3,000.
And the doctor said in the U.S. this operation would cost $50,000.
Same operation,
15 times the cost.
Wow.
And, he's somebody who's sick and he can't, he's American
he
and
can't
he can't
go home
afford
to
live there because he doesn't have insurance.
So if he went back or if he had to go back, he wouldn't be able to afford the surgery and he would die.
Yes. Yes. He's stuck here.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's prohibitive.
Yeah. So the guy in the story, he says that I'm a logical person and I made a logical choice. And as crazy as that story is,
it's logically true situation.
That
makes
was
sense,
the
right?
thing to do.
Yeah. I would have done it if I were him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that he did it in a very, kind of a peaceful kind sort of way.
Yeah.
I mean, he went in and wrote on a piece. He didn't like have a gun or he didn't threaten anybody.
Yeah.
And
he's not the only person to do this. I read about 3 or 4 other cases of people who needed medical attention who did the same thing.
Right.
For a completely different purpose, we actually did a mini listening fluency lesson a few weeks ago.
Oh, right. About the guy that, tried to get arrested so he could get away from his wife? Is that
his relationship was so bad that he, had to go to, he decided going to prison was better than staying with his wife.
Well, couldn't he just walk away and move to a different city or something?
I don't know. Maybe he was related to Alex or Tucker. Sorry, Tucker. And he was the guy.
Making some crazy decisions.
And the last story was that wild story about these two World War One soldiers.
Right.
Jones and Hill.
Jones and Hill.
Hill was the Australian telepath.
Mm-hmm.
And Jones was the British psychic.
Right.
And, yeah, they both spent time in apparently a pretty desolate
place. They were captured, right, in what's now Iraq?
I don't know where Hill was captured, okay. But Jones was, I think he was actually living in Burma.
Uh-huh.
At around the time that the war broke out, yeah, with his family. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what he was doing there. And he sent his family back and he enlisted as an officer in the Indian army.
Okay.
And I guess their regiment was sent to what is now Iraq.
Right. The whole Euphrates Valley, yeah, area.
Yeah. 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 And they were fighting against the Turks there, and they got captured.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how Jones made it to that prison camp. It's not clear how, mm-hmm, Hill made it there. I mean, apparently there were Allied soldiers from all over in that prison camp.
Right. But apparently he got like a postcard from his aunt or something.
Yeah, they were allowed to send and receive mail.
Interesting.
Even though that guy, Moise,
yeah,
apparently stole, uh-huh, a lot of packages, which didn't win him any friends.
Right. People didn't trust
prisoners.
Him very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he took bribes too.
Yeah. Yeah. He demanded bribes for little things.
Now he was a prison guard?
Yeah. He worked for the camp.
He worked for the camp.
He was, I imagine, some sort of.
Yeah. That's what it sounded like,
yeah,
in the story.
Yeah. That his job was as the interpreter. So he had a lot of contact with prisoners.
See.
And, yeah, so that's a pretty funny story. He was a super gullible guy.
Yeah,
and Hill and Jones were there. They were pretty clever con artists.
Yeah, you'd have to be in that situation to get out because it's not a quick con. It takes time to build up. And
what I thought was funny is they didn't even realize in the beginning that this was their ticket to freedom. They just thought, well, this is like a good chance to mess with this guy that we don't like.
Well, yeah, you know, when you're in prison, I'm sure you get pretty bored.
Yeah, so they were constantly telling this guy Moise that that the spirits were angry at him and that he had messed up and he was in trouble. One time they found an old broken gun,
uh-huh,
on the prison grounds, because before these soldiers were in prison there, it was all Armenian prisoners who apparently were killed.
Right.
And a lot of them had buried certain things around the camp, including the rumored to be that rich Armenians, gold.
Yeah.
So they happened to find a broken gun, which they could see was no good, but they just held on to it. And then when they were trying to think about how to convince Moise of their powers, they thought, well, let's bury this gun and tell Moise that the spirits are saying to dig here to find treasure.
Right.
So, you know, Moise starts digging and he finds the gun and he thinks, wow, like I'm onto something here. Yeah. And he keeps digging. And then Jones and Hill yell at him like, Moise, you shouldn't have done that. The spirits are really angry. They didn't tell you to keep digging.
Oh, no.
Now they won't tell you anything.
Oh, man. But so, I mean, I guess what would maybe drive this guy Moise to be so gullible would be his greed, right?
Because I think people who are either desperate or greedy make the easiest marks for con artists.
Right.
And in this situation, it was greed. Greed. They wanted to get rich.
Yeah.
And they thought that the spirits were there to help them, and Jones and Hill were happy to oblige.
Yeah, I bet they were. But their ultimate goal eventually was to escape.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so they had to twist the con or shape the con in a way that would make it look like they actually had to leave the prison against their wishes.
Yeah. And they had to make it look like it was Moise's idea, not their idea.
Exactly.
Even though this spirits, you know, were that had told them that the key to the treasure was in Constantinople.
Right.
They had to pretend like they had no interest in going there.
Right.
And it was Moise that demanded that they travel there.
So conveniently.
Yeah. So what I left out of the story is, you know, the story is that there are three clues, uh-huh. and there are three people that each know the location of three different clues.
Right.
And when these clues are put together, then you'll know where right. this rich guy's gold is.
Right.
And,
but the clues were also written messages.
So the
right?
clues were written messages in Armenian,
which means
so
they learned
Armenian, at least some basic Armenian.
But
to
how
pull
how would
this
they
off.
Do that? How would they? I wonder. Like,
I don't know. But apparently, they had for a while. This is a very long con. Mm-hmm. They had themselves put into solitary confinement mm-hmm. together.
Yeah.
To plot all this out away from the other prisoners so that other prisoners wouldn't know all the details.
Yeah.
And it was said in the story that at that time they got some Armenian books and they learned some basic Armenian and able to write.
Okay, so they had access to books then.
And it sounds like a lot of the prisoners, even though at that time supposedly they were in solitary confinement, that the prisoners did have freedom in that prison camp. Apparently it was in this really desolate area surrounded by desert and mountains, and in the desert around them there was an estimated 300,000 brigands. Armed brigands and army deserters.
Wow.
And that even the Turks would it wasn't safe for them to go through if they were in small numbers because there were so many armed men in the area.
How about that?
So they allowed the prisoners some freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they even allowed them to go skiing, which I imagine was cross country skiing. Cause, you know, if they got too far away, they knew that they would be killed.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
And so it was while they were skiing. And again,
I'm
imagining this is cross-country skiing, not downhill skiing.
Downhill racing.
that during that, one of those times when they went off on skis is when they buried one of the clues.
Okay. Yeah.
And the clues was a little piece of paper in a tin box written in Armenian.
How about that?
And so they planted two of these clues, and then they said, well, the third clue is in the mind of this businessman, or, you know, he's alive, so the spirits can't tell us where it is. You have to tap into his mind with telepathy. Oh,
too far away.
The range is not good enough. I guess we're going to have to give up, Moise.
Yeah.
Moise says, no. We need to get closer, and I need to help you think of a plan to get over there.
Yeah. So you got to act like you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Moise was in on that, right?
Yeah.
Moise
helped them fool the camp doctors.
Wow.
And, So they go there, and before they even leave the camp, they've got it all planned out. They tell one of the other prisoners, okay, we're going to go there, and then we're going to tell Moise the location of a third buried clue. But when Moise comes back to dig it up, you tell him that you already found it, but you lost it.
Oh.
And, so they had already had it all planned out.
Wow.
And, they really were thinking, you know, five
steps
ahead.
Huh?
Not only did they do that, but when Moise and the commandant and the guards were digging up the second clue.
Yeah.
Hill surreptitiously took a photo of the commander of the camp and the guards digging alongside the other prisoners to make some proof, some evidence that the commander was working with the prisoners to try to find treasure. And just in case any of the prisoners got in trouble, they would have something that they could use against the commander.
Wow.
And apparently, and they gave that photo to one of the prisoners before they left on this
trip. Now that makes me wonder, how would a prisoner
have a camera?
Well, even in those days, like World War One, I mean, the cameras are not like the ones we have now.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
have to be huge, these monsters.
I mean, but I mean, I don't think we're talking like 1800s cameras where it's like got to be on a stand with a blanket over
still,
your head.
But World War One era, right?
Yeah.
After World War One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
World War One time. But apparently, you know, this is all documented from multiple sources. And that photo, after Jones and Hill and Moyse left, a bunch of the prisoners escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And they got caught. And they came back. And they were going to be punished. And one of the prisoners took that photo and sent it to the commander's commander, the commander's superior.
Right.
And that got the commander court-martialed.
Whoa.
And so that photo did actually prove useful and got them out of trouble.
Wow.
So these guys, Jones and Hill, they were real cunning guys.
Wow. And I wonder whatever happened to them.
I think Jones, well, they both went to England on that boat.
Yeah.
And here's a funny thing that, you know, this was a real long con. I mean, first of all, they were 6 months in that mental hospital in Constantinople.
Yeah. Pretending that they were crazy the entire time.
And one of them lost, just to act as crazy as possible, I guess he stopped eating. He lost 20 stone. How much is a stone?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It sounds like a lot.
It sounds like a lot. One stone is enough. Yeah.
So they had to act crazy for 6 months before they got on that boat.
Wow.
And who knows how long this con went on in the camp. So it was really a long con.
How about that?
And then when they finally did get released, they got sent to England. But before they even arrived in England, a treaty was signed and all the prisoners were released. Like if they had just stayed in Turkey, it would only been 2 weeks later that they would have been released anyhow.
Wow. So they did all that to save 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. But they got a great story out of it though. Yeah,
that's true. I'm
sure they're milking that story until they're old men. I think that Hill went on to join the Royal Air Force.
Uh-huh.
And Jones also continued in the military for a little while, and then he worked as some sort of, I think, peace activist for a while.
Oh, really?
And then he worked for a university until his death.
Huh.
Yeah.
How about that?
So, yeah, a wild story. Two gullible camp guards.
Yeah.
And, two greedy. Gullible camp guard. I mean, most of the times that you hear about con artists conning people for something ridiculous, it's when they're desperate,
right? Like, I guess, elderly people.
You know, sometimes it's greedy, but sometimes it's desperate.
Or sometimes, or they could just take advantage of someone who just doesn't have like full mental awareness too.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
and that happens to a lot of elderly people.
That actually happened to my mother's friend, who is in her early 80s.
Uh huh.
And she got a phone call one day late at night from somebody saying, "Grandma, it's me."
Mm.
And it turned out it was just some con artist pretending to be her grandson. And then the phone was passed to somebody claiming to be a police officer.
Right.
And said, "Oh, you need to send us this money and we'll release your grandson, and don't tell anybody, because if this gets into the newspapers, then the charges
go up.
It's going to be worse for your grandson. Yeah. So the best thing is don't answer any questions to anybody.
Don't ask any questions."
So she went to a money transfer place, Western Union.
Yeah.
And, they're at Western Union. They're used to people, like elderly people coming, sending money who are getting scammed. They probably have a book, this is suspicious.
Yeah, yeah.
So they said to... You know, they said to my mother's friend, like, who are you? Do you know who you're sending this money to? And she said, "Oh, yes, I know." And she said, "Well, who is this person?" And she said, "Oh, I can't tell you."
Oh, no, that's a red flag.
And Western Union, they really tried to convince her to not send the money, but she was just so desperate, so afraid that she refused any help,
it.
And she demanded to send the money.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that kind of thing happens every day.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. You ever been scammed?
Not recently, no.
Yeah.
Not recently. I mean, I'm sure when I was younger, I was victims of minor scams.
Yeah.
But nothing major, no.
You ever left anybody at the altar?
No, but I know someone that did that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I know someone, this guy, it was a big wedding. It was like a really expensive big wedding, and both sides of the families, you know, they got their plane tickets and their hotels, and people were flying from all over the country, and he backed out like the night before.
How? One night before?
Yeah, it was the night before.
Were you invited to
this
wedding?
No, I had nothing to do with it. It was like the older brother of one of my friends.
Was this you? Is this a story about you?
No.
The older brother of one of your friends.
Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah. So,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, on that terrible note.
Okay.
I think we've reached an end. Until next month.
Okay. Talk to you later.